One thing I want you to know is that 90% of the things you argue about are the same things over and over again. 90, right now, make a list of the 10 top arguments you have. Make a list of the 10 and decide not to have an argument about an old one. Just do that for today. Today, I'm not going to argue about anything that's from the 90%. I'm going to argue about new things only, but I'm not going to, the old stuff, it's gone. I'm going to erase it just for one day. I'd rather not argue. Believe me, new things are going to creep up. But the idea that there's three types of problems, right? Those you can solve, those you can't solve, and those you can mediate. Well, wait a second. If I've got 9 or 10 arguments of the same shit over and over again, why am I arguing about something that's not resolvable? I'm wasting my mental energy. I'm wasting that thing that we have. Remember we talked about it 2 weeks ago? Positive mental energy, PME, right? Negative. Oh, well, we should have been here. That was your absence on the 27th that you weren't here. And what was the enemy? The enemy. Emotional, negative energy. Yeah. And so the enemy is the negative emotional energy in your life, right? PME versus enemy. And so the idea that when you start doing these 90% over and over again, you've polluted your own environment. You heard me say this a couple weeks ago, and that is quit pissing in your swimming pool. And it was meant humorously. I got a swimming pool in my backyard, all these kids back there, and of course they never use the potty. They do. And when you say, please guys, if you gotta go to the bathroom, use the bathroom, and they'll, we would never pee in the pool. Okay? And then I have a green light back there by my swimming pool pump that has nothing to do with urine, but I had them all come back and look at it and said, look, the light's on. And they're saying, why? And I said, somebody peed in the pool. And then they're all like, well, he did it. Well, I had to go. And so the idea that you're swimming in an environment that you polluted.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you? And so the idea that when we think about these negative things that happen in your life and you fill your mind with 90% of the things that you shouldn't argue about, you keep arguing about, you fill your world with your own negative energy. Go ahead and do the next one real quick. I like to say this, but look at that. Any idiot can make a bad situation worse. Could you do me a favor, Rob, and pull that door closed for me? Any idiot can make a bad situation worse, but it takes wisdom to make one better. So I'll take the word idiot out. Anybody can make a bad situation worse, but it takes skill to make one better. Please remember that for the rest of your life. My anger management group, Wednesday night, I got a guy in there, I love him. Just a really neat guy. But he'll spend a lot of energy telling you why he shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be in this group. I'm as peaceful as they come. I never argue with anybody. And they'll tell you this over and over again. What's the problem with this? Well, because the guy that pulled in front of me flipped me off. And all I did was try to tell him that that's not the right thing to do. And he flipped me off again. And so he's escalating. Okay, here we go. Ready? Who's the idiot?
Yeah.
You or the person arguing with the idiot? Right.
Yeah.
See, he don't know he's one, but you know he's one and you're arguing with him. What good is that? How is it going to benefit you to argue with somebody that doesn't make any sense at all? Go ahead, do the next slide. You know, and there we go. I'm going to give you six things that I want you to think about as I start getting to the end of the little bit of the film lecture. But there they are right now. I want you to be aware that stress level is all-time high. Please understand the difference between stress and crisis. Being stressed and being in crisis.
Crisis, you need help. Stress, you need help.
Each of you, by act of God, has a DNA genetic makeup that your propensity to go over the edge is different. And you're wired that way, guys. You're wired that way because of A plus B, and guess who you are?
AB.
You're the AB. And so when I ask you to think about, did your mom or your dad have intense emotion issues? Or were they just the opposite? Were they so sullen and quiet that sometimes you had to ask, are you alive? Is your heart beating? You know, there's just so on the non-reactive side. Now you have to look at yourself, because as stress builds up, if you get to that point where you say to yourself, I don't give a shit anymore, I don't care. Sometimes you hear the expression wigged out, going postal. You ever hear those terms? Those are the terms we use where I am so overwhelmed, I don't have the resources to make it. When you go postal, and each of you will, given the right circumstances, what happens? Well, 50 years of good living can be ruined by 10 seconds of stupidity, right? Got a lot of people in jail that are there forever because they did stupid things. But the idea, do you know yourself for when you're approaching overwhelm? Because that's the key. Do you know yourself enough to know when it's happening? And do you know what to do about it? Remember, 90% of what you argue about is the same thing over again. So you're driving down the street, what are you thinking about? We call it squirrel caging. Squirrel caging is you're spinning about some negative thing that occurred in your life, and the brain can't tell the difference between a memory of a past negative event and it happening right now. I guarantee you think about that thing that you're really embarrassed about, close your eyes, breathe into it, picture it, imagine it, and your body will biochemically respond as if you're there. And I guarantee you all do it more than you realize when you're driving your car, going someplace that you've done so often that you don't have to think. And then you get hooked into some bad memory, and before you know it, you get to where you're going, you get out the car, and somebody says, are you okay? Why? Well, you look pissed. No, I'm not pissed. And then, you know, okay, I'm here. Squirrel caging, scorecarding, we talked about that one, list of things I've never forgiven people for. They're kind of related, aren't they? Because if you got a big scorecard, you're always tipped, you know, there's the propensity to start doing that squirrel caging. I love caretaking. Y'all know the difference between caretaking and caregiving is? Yes, no. Someone caretaking, I take responsibility for your life and I carry you. Caregiving, I walk the walk with you, but I don't take responsibility.
Yep, you're right about that.
Okay? What I really what I find more and more with my guys, they get involved into relationships that are so unhealthy because they get tapped dry.
Tapped dry.
Emotional support, financial support, spiritual support, social support, housing, bills, payment. And now I'm so used to taking over your life, which your life was, again, the key here is, were the problems in their lives caused by irresponsibility? And if you're helping people that have irresponsibly caused problems in their lives, then that's caretaking. And they're going to suck you dry. And when you quit giving, who are they going to get angry at? You. And you think, I'm going to stop giving because I'll get some what's called appreciation. And you're going to be totally stunned and shocked that when you quit giving, what do you get? Retaliation. You know, I can't believe you did this to me. Did y'all hear that? Jail. We've all been there. You know, so the idea, go ahead and push the button one more time. I got somebody screaming stop over here. Whose kids are those? Why don't you go out that door that way? And so, you know, what I'm really concerned with is this idea of those two words up there. You can react or you can respond. You can react or respond. What do you think the difference is? You can react or respond.
I usually react.
React is an action that you take immediately.
Without thinking.
Reaction is automatic energy that's typically mindlessly directed in some random direction. When you're reactive, you jump through your skin and you don't even know what you're doing.
I do that a lot.
And because of you, I'm staying in business. You know, when you guys were sitting around here talking to yourselves before I walked in the door, a couple of you guys had said, you know, now that I'm here, I'm so glad I'm doing this. I didn't want to be here and I'm glad to be here because I'm learning a lot. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Okay. The reason you're learning a lot, well, thank you for that, but the reason you're learning a lot is because it was tapping in information that you needed to hear. It was always there. I didn't write this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I just find it, put it together, organize it, reframe it in a different way, but, you know, make it a little entertaining, song and dance, but for the most part, you're willing to listen, but it was always there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the idea that we become reactive, now look at the word above react.
Problem focus.
You ever hear somebody saying, well, I didn't do that? Yes, you did. You did it. No, I didn't. You did it. And if you're talking that way, you're being problem focused. But watch what happens the next time you have conflict with somebody. Check this out. Next time there's something going on between you and somebody else, try this. Ready? Gosh, this is a mess. Do you have any ideas on how we can solve it? Turn your energy to solution. Look, arguing isn't solving this one bit. So what can we do to, how do we solve it? 50% of your problems will vaporize. 50% of your, then learn how to say it without being sarcastic. You know, that's a delivery problem. That's not an answer problem. I can tell you, 50% of the arguments you have will go away when you start investing your energy on the solution and not how we got here. And I'll give you an example. This is true. This applies to me. You know, Carrie's here today, and we had left late from Tampa to head to New Orleans, and it was Christmas Eve. And we're driving down I-10, that's that place between Perry and Tallahassee, which is a no man's land. There's not even a drive, there's not even a curb on the side, right? And it's the Christmas Eve, it's like 11 at night, it's horizontal rain, it's 35 degrees. You know, one thing about Tallahassee, check it out. Tallahassee has more cold days below zero, below 32. I mean, seriously, if you look at the meteorological history for Tampa, we get two below 32 a year. Tallahassee gets like 50 or 60 below freezing. So it's that cold, and it's horizontal rain, and we have a flat tire, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's New Year's. I got the dog in the back seat, the trunk is full of presents, and I'm really kind of hostile because we left late because you didn't listen to me. Scorecard, remember? Scorecard.
This just happened?
Oh, years ago.
Okay.
Years ago. But while I'm sitting there on the side road, pitch dark, horizontal rain, ice cold, dog in the back seat, trunk full of Christmas presents, I'm about to go unglued. And I think to myself, any idiot can make a bed. Brett came out of that. I just given that class. Anybody can make a bad situation work. Okay, take my eraser. I'm gonna erase how we got here, and now I gotta solve this problem. I mean, if you've ever been on that part of the interstate, it's sloppy, really sloppy. So once I focus on the solution, I wrap up, bring my pants up, take my shoes off, because I got to get out of the car. And I realized that the dog, well, we moved the dog to the front seat to her, pull the seat down, pull in presents from the trunk, into, because I got to get to the spare tire. Got the dog, I'm in there. And every time the truck would pass, I'd get enough light to see where the, you know, and I got one of these donut spares, you know those donut spares? Damn thing's about this big around. It says, do not drive over 50 miles an hour. Don't drive more than 50 miles. Oh, Christmas Eve, man. I mean, every time a truck would pass, the rain would hit me and the little gravel pieces of shit. And I'd look in through the car, and you could see from the car's heading this way through the windows, there's the dog. The dog was happy, you know, like, son of a, but I got it solved. So anyway, we get in the car, start driving. I'm just drenched and I'm cold, I'm shaking. And I start working through solutions focused. You know, I went to graduate school in Florida State University, and I knew one of the girls, Amy, and I called out of the blue, and guess what? She picked up the phone. And she had a friend that owned a car place that had tires, and the next morning, Christmas Day, they opened up to give us a tire. Okay? No shit. Now, we got to New Orleans really late.
That's a movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody, why would you go see something make you depressed, you know? But the truth is, I tell that story all the time because when I started focusing on the solution, then it turns into a memorable event that's kind of funny. And we've taken a black book memory, something that's ill and no one wants to hear about, and turned it into a white book memory because now it's comical, it's funny, it's humorous. So the idea is I chose to respond to the pressures of what was happening. Let's focus on how we get out of here. Didn't squirrel cage, didn't score a card, and from that point on, took that black book memory and turned it into something that's a fun story. That's what I'm trying to get to. You make a choice every time something bad happens. You gotta give me the next slide, if you will.
So you are human.
Say what?
I said you are human.
Human.
You all made mistakes. That's a
while ago. Yeah, but remember, scorecarding is about how to reflect the mistakes you made to me in such a way that I make